Today, being Mother's Day, we have a special guest speaker with us, Mrs. Patricia Orr. She's qualified to speak to us. She's the right person to speak to us on Mother's Day for a few reasons. Firstly, she has a very wonderful daughter, Daphne, and they have a very close and loving relationship. I've known Daphne since she was a small girl until now, and Daphne is a young, fine lady. A very good relationship between mother and daughter. And then secondly, Pat has been on the cathedral pastoral team. She's been a pastor with us for so many years already. I've lost count how many years. And her areas of strength are children's ministry and schools ministry. So in both children's ministry in the church and schools ministry outside government schools, she works closely with parents and children. And so she knows all the tensions and also all the blessings. Let's welcome Patricia Orr.
Thank you, Deaconess June. Very good evening. It's good to be with you here this evening. And once again, just now when I was sitting behind there, so I couldn't really see you, but can all the mothers just show me where you are? All the mothers. Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Can we have the slide? Happy Mother's Day. Very good. Happy Mother's Day. And you know, it is said that if the father is the head of the household, then the mother is the heart. So to all your mothers out there, yeah, do this with me. If your mom is with you, do this to your mom. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Because the mother is the heart of the household. Okay, this evening, I'm talking about the fifth commandment. And I want to begin by telling you a story. It's in the next slide. Some of you may have heard of the Brothers Grimm. The Brothers Grimm, they are quite famous. The brothers Jacob and William, they are famous for their collections of folk tales. And there are some very famous stories like Hansel and Gretel, Cinderella, Rapunzel, and you have heard those stories. But today I'm going to tell you a story that is not so famous. It is about the old man and his grandson. The old man and his grandson. And this story is about a father, a mother, a young son, and they all live together with the father's very aged father. So the grandfather. So they all lived together in this house. And the old man was very old, very weak, feeble, and, you know, his hands are shaky because he was very old. And so his meal times were often very noisy and very messy because he would clang his tableware and he would drip food, he would drop his food on the table and dirty the tablecloth. And sometimes food would run down the corner of his mouth. And so that's what's happened every day. And the meal times especially got on the mother's nerves. And one day she said to the old man, "That's it, I've had enough. Meal times are supposed to be enjoyable and relaxing. But with you around, the meal times, it is so difficult for me to watch this you making a mess every evening." And so she set up a small table in the corner of the room and she told her aged father-in-law, "From now on, you eat over there." And he did. And he would, during meal times, often look over at the family table where they were having their meal with tears in his eyes. But he never said a word. A few weeks passed and everything had seemed to get back to normal. And then it happened again. He spilled his food all over the table and it went onto the floor and dirtied the floor. And his daughter-in-law shouted at him, "If you are going to eat like a pig, you are going to eat out of a pig's trough. And so she got a pig's trough for the old man and put his food into the trough. And the old man had his meals outside the house in the backyard. A few days passed, and the young boy was in the backyard and he was playing. He had some boards and nails and a hammer. And his father asked him, "What are you building?" And the young boy looked up from his project and said, "I'm building a trough for when you and mummy get old." The man and his wife looked at each other and they began to cry. And that night, the father went outside and brought his own father back to the family table. And it no longer mattered if he made a mess. You know, this story reminds us of the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's read it together. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Today, you may not be a father or a mother, but all of us have a father and a mother who gave birth to us. And so today we look at the Ten Commandments, and especially at the fifth commandment. If you look on the screen, you're wondering what's all that up there. G-I-N-S-P-M-A-S-W-C. Well, many, many years ago, I learned the Ten Commandments this way. And until today, I can remember it. G-I-N-S-P-M-A-S-W-C. I don't know if you can remember all your Ten Commandments, but I can guarantee you, after today, you will remember these Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. G stands for God. "I am the Lord your God. You have no other gods before me." Right? I. Oh, can I go back? Yes. I for idols. No images, no idols. N, do not use the name. Do not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Name. S, keep the Sabbath day holy. S for Sabbath. P for parents. Honor your parents. And then the other five commandments are the do not commandments, right? So you have M, do not murder. A, do not commit adultery. S, do not steal. W, do not bear false witness. And C, do not covet. So all of you need to learn these 10 commandments and make sure you know them, right? And then you will say, "Oh, but you look at all these letters. They are so random. They're all over the place. Just G-I-N-S-P-M-A-S-W-C. How am I ever going to remember the 10 commandments?" Okay, I'm going to teach you. So you pretend that you are now in an aeroplane and you are drinking gin. G-I-N. You are drinking gin because you are celebrating your special day. So special, S-P. So you remember gin and you remember S-P. So you are drinking gin on your special day. And you are, I told you are in the aeroplane. You are flying M-A-S. Okay? And because you drank so much gin, you need to go to the W-C. So if you can just remember this very, very simple, gin, S-P, M-A-S, W-C, I guarantee you, you will remember your Ten Commandments. And you know, God has given us the Ten Commandments so that we can, if we say we are Christians and we want to obey the Ten Commandments, we first have to know what the Ten Commandments are, right? So this will help you to remember the Ten Commandments. Now, the first four commandments, G-I-N-S, is all about loving God. And the other six, they teach us how to love other people. So the first four commandments talk about our relationship with God and how to love God. And the other six commandments tell us how to relate to other people, how to love other people. And you can see that the fifth commandment is right in the middle. The fifth commandment here is the transition, the link between loving God and loving others. And I believe that God is saying to us that the foundation of our loving others begins at home. And it grows, it starts and it grows with loving parent-child relationships. Honor your father and your mother. And notice the timelessness of this commandment. It doesn't say, honor your father and your mother till you become an adult. It doesn't say, honor your father and your mother till you get married, right? It just simply says, honor your father and your mother. So it doesn't matter whether you are 6, 16, or 60, this commandment is for you. It's for all of us. So why do we need to obey the fifth commandment? The first point, because God said so. You know, it sounds like a no-brainer, isn't it? Because God said so. We should honor our parents because God tells us to. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And you know, the idea of obedience in Scripture is an interesting one. It is more than just doing what you are told. The Greek word for obedience is actually listening intently. Listening intently. And so we are called to listen intently to our parents, which is the attitude of love and affection, gratitude and respect. And for those of us who have raised children, you know that they go through different stages as they grow up. You know, around the age of 2 years old, the children, all the time, they will say, no, no, no. If you have grandchildren, you know, right? Or they will say, mine, mine, everything is mine. You know, then as they grow a little bit, it comes to the time when they will say, let me do it. I can do it myself. I want to do it. You know, they want to do everything by themselves. And as they grow a little bit more, they come to the complaining stage. Everything is not fair. It's not fair. How come he can and I cannot? It's not fair, isn't it? Yeah, I can see mothers laughing or grandmothers because, you know, you know this is true. But do you know which is the most exasperating stage? It is the why stage. When they keep asking, why, right? You tell them to eat their vegetables and they say, why? And you say, because it's good for you. It will make you strong and healthy. And they say, why? And then you say, well, so that you can look after yourself. You grow up. And then they say, why? You know, and they keep asking, why? Until eventually you get so tired of it, you say, why? I will tell you why. Because I said so. Because I am your mother and I say so. That's why. You know, in the same way, it is true with God. We should obey God's commandments because God said so, because the Bible tells us so. That's why. The second point, Jesus did it. You know, Luke chapter 2 tells us the story about the time Joseph and Mary found 12-year-old Jesus in the temple talking with the teachers of the law. And they were greatly distressed when they could not find Jesus among the group they traveled with. Of course, today is different. If you can't find your child, you just whip up your mobile and you call your child, right? But at that time, of course, no mobile. And it was after 3 days that they finally found Jesus in the temple. And his parents did not understand when Jesus said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Yet, Luke chapter 2, verse 51 tells us that Jesus went back with his parents to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them. So if we say we are followers of Jesus, we are Christians, we choose to follow Jesus, we choose to be like him, then we will choose to obey the fifth commandment, to honor our parents, because Jesus did it. And thirdly, it is a commandment with a promise. This is the first commandment. The fifth commandment is actually the first commandment that comes with a promise attached to it. To the ancient Israelites, God said, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." You know, this principle behind live long, it holds true for every generation. This is the principle, that things go better for children who honor their parents. You know, the well-being of a nation is directly dependent upon the well-being of its families. And while we are involved in a larger society, there is a basic social unit within the society, the family. So learning to obey this commandment helps children establish a lifetime pattern of respecting proper rules, traditions, principles, and laws. Honoring others should be a normal, natural habit that we learn from young. And obeying parents results in the building of knowledge and character and habits of avoiding recklessness, lawlessness, violence, wrong companions, and rebellion against authority. And God promises us in Proverbs 3, 1 to 2. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." You know, God is telling us that if we obey and if we keep his commandments, then length of days and years of life, long life, will be added to us. So we can claim this promise from God. Let's move on. So how do we live out the fifth commandment? First, let us look at what Jesus did at the end of his life when he hung on the cross. John 19, 26 to 27. Shall we read together? "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." At this point, Jesus was hanging on the cross, bearing the weight of the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. Yet, he made sure his mother was taken care of after he was gone. And this was a big concern to him because he was the eldest son. And it is almost certain that by this time of Jesus' crucifixion, Mary was a widow. Because there is no mention of Joseph after the episode at the temple when Jesus was 12 years old. And every time Mary is mentioned in the Gospels, at the wedding in Cana, and when Mary brings Jesus' brothers and sisters to see him, and so on, there is never any mention of Joseph. So we can presume that by this time, he had already passed away and Mary was a widow. And Jesus knew how much his mother had suffered. Mary suffered when she gave birth to Jesus in a filthy stable far away from home. Mary suffered when she heard that Herod wanted to kill her baby. Mary suffered when she was forced to become a refugee in Egypt. Mary suffered as she watched a whole nation misunderstand and taunt her son. And Mary suffered as she watched her son being crucified for a crime that he did not commit. You know, we can't even begin to imagine the pain in her heart, how her soul was being torn apart that day, watching her son die. You know, for some of us, some of you who have lost your own children, Mary can be an important figure of compassion and solidarity as one who can identify with that deep pain. You know, as a parish worker, I've been working in the cathedral for more than 20 years, and I have conducted many, many funeral wakes. And the most painful ones that I have had to do are the funeral wakes of children, when children die before their parents. And Jesus knew Mary's agony. He knew that after his own death, there would be no one to care for his mother. So Jesus turns to John and says, "Take care of her." And then he looks at his mother and says, "Let him stand in my place as your son. Let him become your son. Let him take my place." You know, every Good Friday, we have a three-hour service here in the nave where we reflect on Jesus' seven last words. The seven last words of Jesus, it's on the screen. I'll just quickly read it to you. But these are Jesus' seven last words when he hung on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And the third word, "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished." And finally, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then Jesus breathed his last and he died. So this passage, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother," this is one of Jesus' last words. And we all know how important last words are. And John took these words seriously, and he took care of Mary from that time onwards. You know, many years ago, before my grandmother passed away, she was sick and she was in hospital for about 2 weeks before she passed on. And the doctors were telling us that, you know, get prepared, prepare yourself, because she's not going to last very long. And so all the family and friends started visiting my grandmother. And one of my uncles came to visit her. And I remember my grandmother saying to him, "Ah, Robert, you know, you better stop smoking because it is not good for you." And that was it, you know. Later on, she passed on. But those were her last words to my Uncle Robert. And what happened was that after my grandmother passed away, my uncle really stopped smoking completely. Threw away all his cigarettes and, you know, and he stopped smoking completely. And, you know, that's because, right, when someone says something to you, you know, just before they die, you take it very seriously. And he took it very seriously and he really stopped smoking. And so we can learn from Jesus' example how to live out the fifth commandment. Firstly, we must love our parents. We must love our parents no matter what. You know, sometimes our parents misunderstand us. Sometimes they disapprove of the decisions that we make. Sometimes they hurt us grievously. But you know, it is God's love in us and through us that can help to heal all these hurts. And we must love our parents. Secondly, we need to be responsible for our parents. We need to take care of them, especially as they grow older and older. You know, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So if we say we are Christians, we need to be responsible for our family. We need to be responsible for our parents. And the next verse that we want to look at on how to live out the fifth commandment is from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Shall we read that together? Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Now, let me see, how many of you have pioneer generation mums? Your mums, yeah, pioneer generation mums, Merdeka generation mums. Many of you have mums that are getting old. You know, I myself, I'm a senior citizen, and I'm very proud to be one because I have a wonderful passion card that allows me to take public transport so cheaply. So, you know, I'm not ashamed to boast that I'm now a senior citizen. But you know, as we age, funny things happen to our body. We don't hear so well, and we keep asking our children to repeat what they say. We are slow, and we are set in our ways. So children, you need to be patient with us. We spill things, we lose things, we can't remember where we put our things, and generally we just cannot remember things, right? So children, you need to be understanding. Many times, we are alone, we are lonely, and we crave company, especially with our family and our children. So children, we need to spend time with them. You know, I just read two days ago in Our Daily Bread, the devotional, Our Daily Bread. It was on Friday. And it said that Great Britain has appointed a minister of loneliness. We laugh, but it's true. Great Britain has a minister of loneliness to find out why and help and how to help the more than 9 million British people, and that's about 15% of the population, who say that they often or always feel lonely. Imagine having to have a minister of loneliness. And so, the best Mother Day gifts you can give to your mother is your time, your patience, and your understanding. These are priceless gifts that she wants. And my dear friends, if you have opportunity to honor a living parent, do it today, because you may not have the opportunity to do it tomorrow. My mother died suddenly when she was 54. Her lungs just collapsed, and I was too busy with my career to spend much time with her. And I remember a few weeks before she passed on, I had just bought my first car. It was a used car. It was a 7-year-old car. But you know, at that time, I was so proud of it. And I am sure my mom would have been very proud of me too, because I could finally afford to buy my own car. And I wanted to drive her around and show off my car to her. But you know, I never got the chance. And the only time she was in my car was when I carried her ashes for sea burial. And my mother used to tell me, oh, when I reach 55, I will take my CPF and I will go traveling. You know, that was what she wanted to do. She had never traveled in her life, never gone out of Singapore. But because she died at 54, she never took her CPF. Her CPF went to us, her children. You know, and it was something that I regretted very much, that, you know, my mother's wish could not be fulfilled. After that, I asked my grandmother was still alive. She was 80 years old at that time. And I asked her, "Papa, where do you want to go?" And she said, "I want to go to Hong Kong." And so I brought her to Hong Kong. You know, she was already very old and it was like very difficult to bring her for a holiday, you know, because so old, right? But I brought her to Hong Kong. And it was the first time for her, her first flight and her last flight, because she passed away about 2 years after that. It was her first flight and her last flight, and it was also my first flight. And I just want to end by showing you this picture. You may not be able to see it very well, but this is my son-in-law's extended family. And they just celebrated his mum's 80th birthday. She is there. She is the lady in blue right in the middle. Yeah, that's her. That's my in-law. And the two of us, we share the same name, Patricia. So I am Pat and she is Tricia. And yes, both of us are widowed. Both our husbands pass away within 1 month of each other. And she lives alone in a small village in England. And her children and their families, they are spread out all over the UK and overseas. So when you see this picture, it was a massive endeavor. It was a massive project to bring everyone together for this family party. But you know what? It really made her day. She was so very happy. And so today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, let us thank God for our mothers. And let us do what we can, while we can, to let them know that we honor and love them. Thank you.